The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter. When one of those who reclined at table with Jesus heard these things, he said to him, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." But he said to him, "A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. First said to him, 'I have a field, and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused.' Another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to examine them. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come.' So the servant came and reported these things to his master. And the master of the house became angry, and said to his servant, 'Go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in the poor and crippled and blind and lame.' And the servant said, 'Sir, what you commanded has been done, and still there is room.' And the master said to the servant, 'Go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet.' This is the gospel of the Lord. In the holy name of Jesus, amen. When trying to put together a wedding party, it's important to send out the save the dates and invitations so the guests can see if the wedding date fits in with their schedules. Once the invited guests make their RSVPs, they're locked in. A place will be prepared for them at the banquet table. But when the day of the wedding rolls around and there are a bunch of no-shows, a normal groom would get angry. Or maybe the bride's parents, who paid $50 a plate. But in the gospel lesson, we aren't dealing with any ordinary wedding party. It's described rather as a great banquet. The host invites guests to his great banquet, but rather than sharing in the joys of the day, the guests' obligations have changed since they've accepted the invitation. So they have to cancel in the last minute. The host is angry. He sets up to have a large feast, but the invited guests' priorities have changed. But instead of letting anger loom over him, the host humbles himself to invite the poor, the lame, the crippled off the streets. The impression we get is that there's no need for invitations. Just respond to the host's word and show up. The story in the gospel lesson is what's known as a parable. Parable is often described as being a moral or spiritual lesson, but that's often secondary to what's really going on. Jesus tells this parable to describe the current situation that's happening right in front of him. Our gospel lesson today is a good example. Jesus often pictures his kingdom as a supper or banquet, and those who partake of this banquet enjoy fellowship with God and his kingdom. And those who don't partake in the banquet don't. In our parable, God the Father is the host. Jesus is the servant who invites the poor. And the invited guests who cancel for their own self-centered priorities are the Pharisees. That's evident considering they are the audience Jesus shares this story with. In the parable of the wedding feast right before our gospel text, calls out the Pharisees' need for exalted status. The Pharisees are the invited guests of the parable because they have the Abrahamic covenant. God has promised to Abraham's descendants, including the Pharisees and all the Israelite people, that God will make Israel a great nation and a blessing to all the nations. They are God's people under the old covenant. And the new covenant is made for them. That is, the new covenant, that is Jesus' blood, shed for many for the forgiveness of sins. The invitation is there, but they reject it. They crucified him. Even despite crucifixion of Jesus, their promised Messiah, their invitation still stands. Yet they continue rejecting the invitation because their self-righteousness wouldn't allow themselves to receive such a humbling invitation. What, to admit they're wrong? To admit they've sinned? Well, bowing down to another man, even if he is God, certainly rids them of any power they have. They exalted themselves, leaving God no other option but to humble them. Because the Pharisees weren't humble, they were a proud people. They didn't see sin within themselves, but they could only see sin within other people. Their opinions of themselves made it seem as if they were gods walking among sinners. They were devout, successful, prominent. They had status, wealth, power, and authority. Part of their authority was to care for those treated with injustice, like the poor, widowed, and orphaned, thrown out on the streets, defenseless on their own. But they were more preoccupied with self-righteousness by their own works to bother with matters of injustice. They thought Jesus would step up on their pedestal with them, so he could enjoy what the Pharisees built for themselves, their own little paradise on earth. Jesus taught the Pharisees this parable to demonstrate that the demographic of the kingdom of heaven will be quite different than what they may expect. Why? How? Because the kingdom of heaven comes by grace, and grace alone. To be at this feast, they must receive God's grace. That is, they must be equals to the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. For whoever humbles himself will be exalted, and whoever exalts himself will be humbled. That is, the Pharisees must repent of their material, social, and political status. They must repent of their own self-righteousness getting in the way of love. They must repent of placing their trust in themselves and not in God alone. They expect themselves, the invited guests of Abraham's lineage, to be at a place of prominence in this feast. Instead, Jesus taught them that their self-righteousness and exaltation of themselves has rendered their chair empty at the feast, because they ignored God's grace by not exercising it themselves. They made the mistake of thinking that the affairs of this life came before the treasures of heaven. They don't have time to listen to the teachings of heaven, or maybe they'll do it when they carve out some time when it's convenient for them, maybe sometime between 9:15 and 9:30. But the banquet's scheduled. The food's prepared. The invitations are sent. The time isn't on your terms, but the host's. You're either in on the feast for all eternity or you're out. What's most important to you? What prioritizes your life? Your job, your family, sleeping in on Sunday mornings, seeing the land you just bought, testing out the oxen, or what about attending divine service Sunday mornings? Realize that the current circumstances of COVID-19 have limited our abilities for services on Sundays, but the principle still stands. The Lord knows our intentions for staying home, whether we're in or out of this pandemic. We go to church out of our need for God's gospel, but God's grace isn't often seen as a need. Not for the Pharisees, and maybe not for all of us either. But the truth is, there's no greater need on God's green earth than this humbling gospel that gives life, not death, that gives love, which rejoices in truth, but takes no pleasure in the evils of this world. Hatred, greed, lust, quarreling, pride, violence. But oftentimes we choose the wrong things, even if we do it in the name of religion, thus turning God's grace into a law. But in the parable, we see God's invitation not as a law, but as a gift. It's an invitation. He invites the poor, crippled, you, me, Pharisees, and all people. He says, come, take me up on my gracious invitation and have fellowship with me. Let me show you how to live, because you've only chosen death for yourself. You've chosen selfishness, but let me show you what grace looks like. Humble yourselves so that I may exalt you. Heed his invitation to you, which isn't off in the future. It's here and now. Many think this banquet as something distant, treating it as such. Truth is, God invites us to a heavenly banquet here and now too. Jesus himself has come to prepare this banquet for us. By taking on flesh to be born in the stable, he bore the sins of the world in his earthly life. He put them all to death as he was scourged and crucified, as he willingly gave up his body and willingly shed his blood as the greatest act of grace, to forgive your sins and to give you a spot at the banquet table. Now, at this table, he uses bread and wine, saying words like, take, eat, this is my body given unto death for the forgiveness of all your sin. And take, drink, this is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. This is a foretaste of the eternal banquet feast to come. Don't reject his gracious invitation. Now, there is a time for checking out the business, taking care of the family, especially in times of COVID. There's a time of rest, or whatever which would prevent anyone from coming to the divine service. But doing these important things won't bring God close to us. Rather, when God feeds us in his divine service, we are then fit to work that field, to drive those oxen, to live in marital faithfulness, or live faithful to God in whatever vocation he gives. When God gives his precious body and blood in this banquet, it strengthens and nourishes our faith, so that when we live within our God-given vocations, we may live holy lives of love. Not self-righteously as the Pharisees live, but lovingly, graciously, truthfully, and patiently, as our Father in heaven is. But those who habitually decline the invitation to this gracious banquet feast, they cannot live by the grace of God. Jesus invites us to come, for all things are ready. We are poor in spirit, crippled by our sin, blind to God's truth, and incapacitated to walk in the way of the Lord. We aren't worthy for a great banquet feast such as this. But Jesus invites us anyway, saying, I give you my worthiness. Oh, you don't have the appropriate clothes? I'll clothe you with my robes of righteousness at baptism. I will give you everything you need to be at this banquet feast. Simply let me take care of you. Come as you are, with your sins, weaknesses, and failures. Repent and come to the one who forgives your sins in this great banquet meal. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.